From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of July 2017. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons will be here to check the cash grain situation with us. Along the way, I'll update you on what the agricultural economist Todd Hubbs from the U of I thinks about the marketplace. And we'll check the weather forecast, too. That with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Ty. Glad to be here. Thank you.
I spent the week away from the markets, though I talked with Dan on Thursday, and I heard what Mike had to say on Friday. Wondering what you thought of last week's action and how things started this week.
Well, last week was quite volatile. Basically, put rain in, take rain out, and we finished last week on a little bit of a weak note with the possibility of some cooler and wetter conditions. And we were seeing a cooler, wetter forecast. The overnight map showed anywhere from 3/4 to 1.5 inches and some cooler temperatures this week for some of the drier regions in South Dakota, northern Nebraska, into Minnesota, and even coming down into central Illinois. But as the market priced that in Sunday evening's trade, sharply lower, gap lower, in fact. We left some chart gaps in the beans. We got a chart gap in the November futures contract from this 10.15 1/4 to 10.13 1/2 area. These corn left about a penny and a quarter gap from 92.5 down to 91.25 on this wetter forecast. Commodity funds, they were sold into the marketplace. They were huge sellers throughout the session. But as the midday maps came out, they kind of backed off a little bit on the moisture event, a little overstated. There is going to be a rain event anywhere from 0.5 to 1 inch versus those heavier amounts, but the main thing is some cooler temps. Also, too, the trade's kind of a little concerned on what damage we've seen take place thus far, some of the triple digits out west. This afternoon's crop conditions report expected to show a little bit more deterioration. Last week's corn good to excellent category was 64% good to excellent. Ideas are we could be down in the 62-63% good to excellent. Beans were at 61% last week. Ideas we could be 59, maybe 60% good to excellent. Now, in these conditions report, what's going to dictate the opening tonight is probably the state breakdown. Corn, Iowa, last week was 71%. Well, the prior week, it was 77%. It dropped 6%. And ideas that it could maybe drop another 5 to 6%. And same thing with Minnesota. It was up towards 79%. It could maybe drop down to about 75%. So they're going to kind of watch some of these key states in the Western Belt and kind of use those some benchmarks here to see what type of deterioration we observed from last week's heat and dryness in the Western Belt.
There are a lot of things that are piling up in the marketplace at this point that have been having an impact on the supply. And I was watching the market overnight last night, again today, and it looks like, given for the whole session, that it finished fairly strong, despite the fact we still were down 2.5 cents in corn and 11 cents in beans.
Yeah, it was kind of a moral victory.
We'll take what we can get. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, there's still a lot of cash grain to move yet, and there's still a lot of new crop to market yet. And but these corns, 84 3/4, there's ideas 84-85 would hold, and it did. So that's constructive. On the beans, guys were looking at 10.05, and it went below that, took out the stops below $10 and kind of came back. Actually, if you look at the corn close at 390 and three quarters, you know, that chart gap, if we could open about 2 cents higher tonight, we could have a one-day island bottom in corn and giddy up and go, maybe. but we'll see if that happens. Same thing on the beans here. They closed at 10.10. You know, if we'd open at, 10.15, well, even 10.14, just a little higher in here, we could have a one-day island bottom. But yeah, this market's juiced. The funds are in there, you know, swinging some fairly good numbers, and we got to expect this volatility to continue here. The crop is smaller. How much smaller? We're going to debate that clear into January, reported next year. Some of the guys are starting to, you know, try to pinpoint regions and so forth. If you take the Western Belt and shave off 20% of production, keep the Eastern Belt the same, we're probably about 168 bushels to the acre. If you shave off 20% production in the Western Belt and take 10% off in the Eastern here, now you're getting down about 162 bushels to the acre. So there's a lot of moving parts in here. There's still a lot of weather and market volatility in front of us yet, Todd.
And a big crop that came out of South America, I suspect that's beginning to put a dent in the demand side things for U.S. sourced crops.
Well, it's kind of a thing we've been dealing with for years and years. We continue to lose so-called market share. South America's, you know, going to be a heavy competitor. It's not going to go away. But projecting out, I think one of the consulting firms out of the Southern Hemisphere projected bean acres to be up and corn acres to be down this coming year due to the profitability in the beans, raising beans in the Southern Hemisphere. So from a global point of view, a few less corn acres out of the Southern Hemisphere should help tighten up the overall world supply-demand balance sheet for corn.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Oh, the cattle market. They had a cattle
report,
116% placements. A lot of that had to do with weather out west and also had to do with grazing wheat a little bit longer. And so we saw a big group of fats come in through here. So if you're a ribeye guy, get ready. There'll be some specials here towards the end of August.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
And, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Well, we're joined in studio now by Todd Hubbs. He's the agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm charged with looking at the commodity markets. Todd, thanks for being with us. There's a lot of volatility in both the corn and soybean markets, maybe more than we might expect given what's happening in the fields, I think, or at least it looks that way. Although we're in the midst of a weather market, aren't we?
Yeah, we are right in the middle of it. I don't know if it's more volatility than we should expect in a summer like this, but it's a lot of volatility. And we've seen, you know, large price runs up and down over the last couple of weeks in both markets, driven a lot by the weather. We've seen crop conditions reports, you know, reflecting the possibility that we've lost some yield this year, especially in corn. I'm still thinking it's a little too early to talk about soybean yield loss. I know we've heard a lot of chatter about it. We're looking at 8 to 14 day out weather projections, 1 month ahead weather projections. It's hard to say at this point what the soybean yield is going to be, and I'm not backing off the trend at 48 yet. The markets there for a while looked like they were pricing a really significant corn yield loss this year. You know, when you combine the way I'm sort of thinking about the corn market, and we've talked about this over the last few months. I felt like corn prices, under the scenario we were building into the end of June, I sort of saw them going up a little bit, and we've seen that. We've had really good ethanol demand. We've had strong ethanol exports. Look like we're going to export a record amount of ethanol during this marketing year. A lot of that's driven by Brazil importing a lot of our ethanol. But we've seen a back off on feed use. So where's that demand, you know, balance going to come from? We've seen the export market be strong, but we've still got all that crop in South America. And, you know, the prospect that the USDA I don't think they'll lower corn exports for this old crop marketing year, but there's this prospect that maybe they'll get lowered for the next one. So, you know, when we talk about the increased corn acreage and maybe a yield loss below trend, but are we talking 7 bushels? Are we talking 5 bushels? Are we talking 2 bushels? It's really hard at this point to say. I have my own little model that I work off of crop condition ratings, and of course I'm looking for the report later today. But I'm looking at, you know, my little model, like 168 maybe. But it's hard to say what the USDA is going to put out on August 10th. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what they're saying about yields. You know, if the market's pricing in at 164, 165 yield on corn, you know, the price moves aren't going to be good if they come in at about 168, 169 on yield on August 10th. I think we're starting to see in the market some moderation of this possible yield loss in the corn markets. But I think the volatility is going to continue for the next few weeks.
Farmers have been pretty good, it appears, about rewarding especially the corn market with new and old crop corn sales when they get to that $4 level in the December corn and I suppose something on their basis levels that corresponds fairly well with that. However, there's a lot of corn that is in the supply side of this thing. Fundamentally, both crops actually have pretty good ending stocks for this year.
They do. The thing about the corn market ending stocks is, you know, we're looking at like 16.2%, I think, for 16-17. We could run that down pretty quick if we had a bad crop year. It could go down pretty rapidly. I don't think that ending stock for corn is oppressive for prices. I haven't felt that way for a while. We've seen pretty strong demand domestically and internationally. You can't discount the idea that there is a lot of corn in South America still, and we're competing with them. But I don't think that ending stock's oppressive. And if we do see a substantial yield hit, you know, we're probably going to see a good run in corn prices. Soybeans, I think our exports moving into the latter part of this marketing year have been a lot stronger than a lot of people expected, me included. You know, we saw a huge crop in Brazil, and they have been exporting really well, but we've been holding our own in that, which is a positive sign. Having said that, we're still looking at 89.5 million acres of soybeans with an undetermined yield right now. If it hits trend of about 48, it's going to be a huge crop. I think I understand the weather premium in the markets, and I get the dynamic going on there. But for me personally, when I'm looking forward, you know, we've seen crush sort of not where we would like it to be, but exports have been strong. Moving into the new crop year, 17-18, if we have trend yield with 89.5 million acres, we're going to see ending stocks building through 17-18 unless we can get some serious export numbers going. Based on some reports out over the weekend and last week, it looks like going into the 18 marketing year, Brazil's looking to plant more beans and less corn on top of what they already have done. This is all, you know, downward pressure on soybean prices. So as we move into the new crop year, I'm still sort of where I was a month ago. I'm not as high on corn prices as I was before, but I still think there's a possibility. Seasonal average farm price for corn in 17-18 in that 380 to 385 range with some runs. So soybeans, I'm still pretty down on. I don't think we're going to see the yield hit that a lot of people are thinking is going to be there. But there's a lot of weather to be had, so we don't know yet. But, you know, when you look around with the acreage levels we're talking about and the demand scenario we're under and the world stocks, there's some pressure there.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah,
that, of course, is Todd Hubbs. He's an Extension Agricultural Economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm talking a bit about the marketplace, speaking of which, Greg Johnson is here. He's from the Andersons right here in Champaign County to talk about the cash grain situation. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Good, Todd. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm back from my vacation last week and having a lot of fun. Yeah. It was farmer-style vacation. You sort of go and you work and you have a lot of fun. I went up to Anheuser-Busch, the malting plant in Fargo, and I crop toured all the way up on the south route. So I went from here to Peoria and Peoria to Monmouth, across to Burlington, to Des Moines, over to I-80, I-29 exchange, and then straight up the line into North Dakota, and then came back the north route through Minneapolis and Madison. And I got to tell you, the north route, and it rained from Minneapolis to Madison. It was an ugly trip there, but they're just wet in that route on the north side. In fact, wet enough that, you know, all the variability you've been talking about in Indiana and Ohio most of the year, definitely at least along that route, shows. And it shows in a big way. I think that, well, they're just still wet. They still have standing water and ponds and all sorts of things. So kind of an interesting route. The rest of it, Greg, you and I talked about it on Commodity Week a little bit, but, you know, the southeastern part of Iowa, there were parts where it was just gray and bad. That was near Eddyville, and it's pretty rough ground there to begin with. And the rest of it looked good, or at least looked really good. Northern Illinois, when you come straight down the interstate, looks fantastic. Who knows what it looks like on the inside, but today,
the northern third of Illinois probably could be, well, Minnesota might be the garden spot, but the northern third of Illinois might run a close second as far as just getting off to a good start and having, you know, timely rains throughout June and July. Everyone else, it seems to be more of the scattered variety where you can find good areas and bad areas. But if you had to try to find a consistent garden spot, I would say Minnesota and northern Illinois would be where I would start anyway.
Yeah, that I think that's right. Despite what I saw in Minnesota, I would have been, I assume, on the northern fringe of their better growing regions. I'm positive that was the case. And boy, I don't know. It's hard to gauge what this crop looks like, I suppose, nationally.
It does. I mean, you know, the government will do its best, but last week was a perfect example. Some places got 3/4 of an inch of rain. Some people got 1.5 inches. Some people got more than that, but yet it was hot. It was 95 to 100 out west. It was in the 90s here in Illinois. So what does that do to the crop? You know, some rain is better than none, obviously, but the hot temperatures might have had an impact, and as we talked on Commodity Week, there's a wide variety of opinion as to what this crop will do, and it's still a little too early to say. But my thinking is that if we're down 5 or 6 bushels, that helps, but it doesn't help enough to keep the traders excited. It's going to probably take a 10-bushel drop, and maybe that's there, but I just don't think we know that for sure yet.
No, we don't know that yet. Silking is lagging behind in those areas. There were some tassels out and some silks, I suppose, in those far western parts of the state. I didn't see anything in Minnesota that would have been that way. We'll see. We'll see.
We will see, right?
Yeah, that's all we can really say. I got 30 seconds. What's the cash grain situation like here today?
Farmers are discouraged, and we did not buy much. We were on the cusp of buying. If we would have had some up markets this week, I think farmers would have released some more old crop corn and beans. But since the markets are lower today, even though they came back off their lows, cash movement was extremely slow today.
And your bids?
Old crop corn tonight is 361, new corn 366, old beans are 977, new beans are 971, and the wheat is 484.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson of the Andersons. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. John Davis is now here. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Hey, John, thanks for being with us. We have a lot to talk about today. Let's start in the Midwest, rainfall and temperatures both.
Yeah, well, rainfall, that's really been the big story over the last 5 or 6 days. And the bottom line is that the dry areas, which a week ago right now were becoming in kind of a critical stage across many areas of the western Midwest, have shrunk markedly with the rains that we've had over the past 5-day period. There are still some pockets that have failed to get rain, some pockets in eastern Nebraska, some pockets in western Iowa, but the bottom line is that the amount of acreage that's been critically dry has shrunk dramatically since about Wednesday of last week.
Did they have heat in the process?
They did. Now, last week was a hot week, especially across the western portion of the belt, namely across southern and western Iowa, the plain states into Missouri, even southwest Illinois. Now, that's something going ahead. It looks like all the heat now is in the process of moving back in a westward direction. So for the vast majority of the Midwest, it does not look like we're going to have any real heat, problematic heat, especially for corn pollination, for the majority of the region over the next 14-day time frame. So all the heat is going to be a western U.S. phenomenon, basically across the western third of the nation, with very moderate temperatures over the next 2 weeks across the vast majority of the Midwest Corn Belt.
In combination, the heat and the rainfall, were they good, bad? Just didn't matter so much last week.
Well, I think that certainly the heat took away some of the yield potential across the far western Midwest in areas that had pollinating corn. So that's a negative. The positive, of course, is the rains across much of the belt. And even though we didn't see all areas get the rains, there are many areas that had 4 weeks of acute dryness that saw significant rainfall amounts during that last 5 or 6 day period. And so that, of course, is extremely beneficial. I guess when you add it up, the beneficial aspects of the rainfall probably outweigh the heat stress that we saw across the far western portion of the Midwest, mainly because that was more of a widespread feature than what we tended to see with the temperatures.
Is the ridge gone, and do we have to worry about it the rest of the month of July or August?
The ridge is still there. It's moving in the western U.S., and so the heat that they had the last couple of days in Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas, and the heat they're going to have coming up in the western U.S., oh, the ridge is still there, so you always have to watch the ridge. You never turn your back on a ridge here, Todd. And so during the month of August, we are going to have to watch that closely. The one thing that we can say is that at least in early August, there's no sign of any movement of that western ridge into the middle of the Corn Belt.
Your crop prospects then look decent at this point.
Well, we think that the worst is over, you know, from a standpoint of the dryness and some of the heat that we've seen in the western Midwest, and that things from this point on are in an improving mode through month's end and into at least the early portion of August.
May very well be good for the soybean crop. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again later.
My pleasure, Todd.
John Davis is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.